Do 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 do. Hey, welcome everybody to The Side Quest, a very special Sunday service edition, and mostly because it's just me, solo, flying solo tonight on Oscar Sunday. We were going to do it on Wednesday, and then Thursday, and then Friday and Saturday, but everyone's been super busy, so I decided, you know what, let's just dolly go solo. So I'm just tweeting out for people to join me. Anyways, hey, it is Oscar Sunday, although we're not going to talk about the Oscars at all. What we are going to say is that we're going to talk about some video games and video game news and all that fun stuff that we've been, you know, we do on the site. For those that know me, I've been doing a little bit of fasting this week for religious purposes. It's over. And check out, I'm drinking the Fireball in good old Aaron's honor right here. Hopefully I don't spill it all over my laptop. There you go. Nice little shoddy shot. Right. Yes, good stuff right here. So I'm gonna take this shot right now and get Sunday evening started off in the right direction. Bottoms up. Whoo! Fireball. Whoo! Aaron, that one's for you. See you on the next app, Aaron. Anyways, let us talk about fun stuff. So it's me tonight. I'll still dive into a little bit of news. I think that'd be kind of fun to talk about, right? Some of the news that's happening right now. I think the biggest news for me, which I think is actually pretty cool. I'm going to share this screen right now. You guys ready? Check this out. Is that there has been a KOTOR remake announced. Now, this is the trailer for the original Knights of the Old Republic. But apparently, I got to shut the sound off on this because I can hear the sound. Apparently, Aspyre Media, Aspyre Games, whatever they want, haven't announced yet. It's still kind of in the works. Is working on a KOTOR remake. KOTOR Knights of the Old Republic being the Star Wars game that Aspyre, BioWare, I think Obsidian had a hand in it. A bunch of teams had a hand in it way early on the Xbox. That's the Xbox trailer going there from E3 2003, as you can see. But they're doing a full-on action remake of the game. This is news comes out of Jason Schreier, who dropped that little detail. He was a guest on the MinMax podcast, former Game Informer folks got together and started that podcast, and they had Schreier on, and he let that news kind of pop in there. So I hadn't heard anything about it. This is kind of news to me. We've always kind of talked about Knights of the Old Republic making its way back. I think I own it on like iOS, if I know for sure, like on one of my phones or iPads or something. Haven't played it yet. Keep hearing good things about it. Got to check it out. I know it was a sort of helped launch the careers of a bunch of folks to build up Mass Effect. Yeah, I'm gonna start the trailer again. Bam. And the stuff that they learned out of building the KOTOR games directly led into Mass Effect. So yeah, I think this is pretty cool. I'm kind of interested in getting more Star Wars stuff, and then KOTOR. A lot of people like KOTOR and KOTOR Part Deux. So if they can build this sucker up, then that's pretty awesome. And so, yeah, it's Aspyre Media. So who knows how good this game will be, how bad this game will be. But Aspyre is they've done some pretty cool projects in the past. So, yeah, again, this is the E3 2003 trailer that we're watching right there. But anyway, I thought it was kind of cool. KOTOR might be making a comeback. Hasn't been officially announced. E3 is right around the corner. I'm pointing that way, whatever. E3 is 2 months. What is it? April? E3 is a month and a half away, and maybe we'll hear something. Maybe we'll hear something then. Could be kind of cool. But yeah, so that's a good one. I think, again, a lot of people are Star Wars fans, as I am. So I think that's something that we could totally look forward to. Another bit of cool news is, and I'm going to pop this sucker open right now. is that before I get into that, Discord, I know we talked about a couple weeks ago or so that Microsoft was gobbling up everybody, and now they had their sights set on Discord. Looks like that deal is off. Discord backed off and said, you know what? Thanks for that 10 billion, whatever that was, but they're going to hold off because for whatever reason. I think part of that comes with the notion that they could potentially make more out of a public IPO if they go forward. So their valuation can go up quite a bit. I know they haven't, I don't know how many people actually subscribe to that Nitro, that kind of $10 a month Nitro subscription. But, and I know Discord, I think, tried to put some games on there as well. Didn't quite work out as well. They should have angled more towards like the indie games, which we'll get into in a second here, and what they promote online, because indies and fan communities around indies are pretty big in Discord. So the more indie stuff, I think, would have been great. But yeah, it looks like that deal is off. So Microsoft is going to have its hand. It doesn't have its hands on it doesn't have its hand in its pockets to take money out. That's a horrible analogy. Microsoft is not buying Discord. Let's just leave it at that. one bit of a cool news that, like I said, Discord should have gone maybe towards the indie route or looking at other apps, for instance, is because Epic Game Store, check that out. They are now allowing apps onto the Epic Game Store. Obviously, there is still a heated battle going on between Epic and Apple. So I think Epic saying, hey, look, we're also allowing apps and people to make money off of stuff on our game store. Why doesn't Apple do it off their app store? But it's actually really kind of cool because, Itch is now on there. I mean, iHeartRadio can shape Krita. Krita is a great sketching tool, by the way. I think there's like a bunch of music apps and stuff on there too, potentially. But Itch is great because Itch is where I go to find just tons of indie games and support indie developers and stuff. So I think it's a really cool start for what Epic could be doing. And it's really going to help every single one of those, the indies that are kind of, hosting their games on Itch and indie devs and stuff. So I think it's cool what it does for their Apple, Google, Microsoft war battle. I don't know, but it's always a good sign to get good news to get, more apps and stuff onto either the desktop, the PC based apps. It's not like you're getting the iOS versions or anything else of these things, but yeah. So anyways, apps on Discord, kind of cool. I mean, on Epic Game Store, kind of cool. So another bit of news, speaking of apps and free things, because that was a free one to download, is that Microsoft has now formally announced the online multiplayer. I'll scroll down this list a little bit because you're not looking at their feet. Online multiplayer for their free-to-play games is now fully functional. So there's a ton of free-to-play games on Xbox, and they used to be behind the Xbox Live or whatever it's called now, Xbox Network, I don't know, paywall, no longer. Apex Legends, I mean, obviously it's massive. Fortnite, a bunch of stuff. You no longer need to have Xbox Live. They're just free to play. You hop in there and you could, play the games without having to have an Xbox Live account, which is a pretty big deal, actually, because I know a lot of people, a lot of parents that I know have, bought Xboxes for their kids, or the kids have Xboxes, and strictly for stuff like Fortnite, for Apex. Yeah, a lot of young kids playing that. Roblox, which is a big one. Smite, things like that. So you no longer need to have Xbox Live. So they were paying Microsoft the monthly subscription just to play these free games, and then buying stuff in game, buying the battle pass and stuff. You don't need to worry about that anymore. Now it's just completely free. So I think that's really cool. I know Jeff Grubb was talking about that for a while, that it was going to be launching pretty soon. And I do think that it was something that Microsoft talked about a while back. So that's always a good thing. But I think I've said always a good thing a couple of times. But yeah, and now it's official. So free to play games are now no longer have to pay for them on Xbox. So yeah, I think it's good. I think that's good for the news. I'm sure there'll be more news later on. Spent about 10 minutes talking news. I want to talk about a couple game releases that are popping up this week, because it's feels like it's been a while since we've had some big games. I mean, Monster Hunter seems like Nintendo's getting kind of everything right now, since everything else has been delayed. But again, Nintendo is getting the next big game right now, coming out this week, which, check it out, it is a new Pokemon Snap. So that's one of the big releases this coming week. I think it's coming out Friday alongside another game in a second. Here, we'll talk about it. But a lot of people were looking forward to this. I've never been a Pokemon Snap kind of person. Maybe I'll pick it up because I know this is like super casual and I don't have to spend a ton of time. And it's not like you can really beat. I mean, you can beat it, but you could kind of play this game at your own pace. It's not like I have to have any fear of missing out or anything. Same with, like, you know, Animal Crossing was that way. I do kind of hope that they introduce more stuff into this, though. It'd be great if there was DLC and new Pokemon Snap a la like what Animal Crossing is doing, right? So you can have like seasonal stuff, so there's seasonal Pokemon pop in there. I think it'd be kind of cool. That way it keeps people coming back to new Pokemon Snap after a while. But anyways, that was kind of cool. I may pick it up. See, here's, check it out. Cool. You can go on, snap pictures of fruit if you like that, and just get Bug Snacks, which I think was already free at once at first. So anyways, there you go. Pokemans. Another game coming out this week. One that I'm actually very excited about. And I think I'm actually going to pick this up, and it'll likely go on my pile of shame, but I may play it. It may not go to my backlog. It is Returnal. And I got to say, I've been really looking forward to this. This is by Housemark. Really looking forward to this game. It just looks dope as hell. I mean, it's like a roguelite, Metroidvania style thing with set in space and I don't know, weird shit's happening. It's like what Kojima would do if he was doing like a space roguelite. But anyways, that's coming out this week. Sony's had a bunch of delays. As everybody else has as well because of COVID and stuff. But this game, I think, has rightfully so getting a lot more attention now. I think previews are going out. People are loving this game in previews. I'm expecting reviews to be pretty good for this. I mean, look at those visuals. That's pretty awesome. I don't know what kind of crazy-ass monster that was, but it looked pretty cool. So, yeah, this is also coming out on Friday. So you expect both new Pokemon Snap and Returnal on Friday. Again, it seems like these are the only big games that are coming out, is either a bunch of Nintendo stuff because they're pushing stuff out every week, or, you know, Sony every couple months or so, they're coming out with these kind of new experiences here. So yeah, kind of cool. Looking forward to Returnal. Definitely going to check that one out. And it'll go on my backlog as per usual, but let's talk about what I actually have been playing. Let's just say I don't want to talk about, but guess what? There's nobody else on staff here on the episode. So I'm still playing Bravely Default 2. So you guys have to listen to me talk about this for just a split second. So I think there are like 7 or 8 chapters in the game. I'm just about done on chapter 5. The first few chapters are really long. The last like 3 are really kind of short because you're kind of doing a bunch of wrap up. And by then the whole world's been sort of released and exposed and all that kind of stuff. You can hunker on the map at that point at your leisure. So I really enjoy it. It's super tedious as hell because all the Bravely Default games, Bravely Default, man, I'm tired. And I think it's the fireball that's hit me. The Bravely Default games are longer, obviously, and they're more in depth, but I get suckered into side quests and, I'm doing all the side quests in the game, and I'm playing all the damn card games. But my goal is this week to complete Bravely Default 2. I'm going to finish one chapter per night. That's my goal the rest of this week, so that when Returnal comes out, I'm going to hop into Returnal. Looks like Returnal is a little bit of a shorter game. And then after Returnal, I'm going to get back into Fire Emblem Three Houses, which my friend Dan, I'm going to be watching. Hey, Dan. Has been plowing through. And then, maybe I'll play that, which will be another long-ass game for me. sorry about that. I love these long games. I've also played another game. And it's another game that I cannot stop playing, and it's Pac-Man 99 and Tetris 99 as well. But I really like these dumb, mini Battle Royale-ish things that Nintendo puts out. I loved Mario 35. I loved Tetris 99. Pac-Man 99 isn't fantastic, but it's good enough. And it's like all of these have been good enough. Tetris 99 actually is pretty phenomenal. But the nice thing about Pac-Man 99 is that you could still play it. I guess all of them are the same way. You can still sort of play these as just the game by itself without having to, you know, it's not necessarily competitive if you're just trying to survive and trying to play Pac-Man and stuff. So there's some kind of hook, a nice hook to that kind of stuff. Nintendo did that with Tetris 99, did it with Mario 35. You could literally just play the game as normal and hope to survive. They could last a while though. Super Mario 35, I think there were times when I think I was in like a 10 minute, 15 minute like match of Mario 35, and it was just bonkers long because you know, you'd be the last two or three people there and everybody was really good. Tetris 99, on the other hand, that shit can go wrong really quickly. Pac-Man isn't like necessarily a 15 minute type of thing, but you can be in there for like 4 or 5 minutes if you're a good enough player, and it makes the game feel like it's way long because of that fact. So anyways, playing Pac-Man 99, Tetris 99, and Among Us with the kiddo on the new maps. They have the new map on Among Us and stuff. So, that's it. That's it for that stuff. And I got to say, I've been doing some reading. I've been reading a couple things here. One, I've been reading Cyberpunk Trauma Team. It's game-related. I figured I'd talk about it. Cyberpunk Trauma Team, because I do have to finish the game eventually. But I love this type of expanded universe stuff when it comes to video games. Some of it's written really well. And the Cyberpunk Trauma Team stuff is actually written really well. I'm really enjoying it. It's written by, I think the teams behind it are Cullen Bunn, Miguel Valderrama, Jason Wordy, and Frank Svetkovich. And they're doing a fantastic job from art and writing standpoint. I think I'm really enjoying it. So yeah, if you're Cyberpunk fan, or really if you're just kind of big into graphic novels, that one's good because, yeah, check out these. First of all, that cover's badass. Nice yellow sticks out. And then the art is actually really good. Just nice. Oh, it's all blurred out, of course. It's blurred out. Stupid camera tricks. The other thing I'm reading, because I've actually been reading more, I love it, Ask Iwata. Definitely get the Ask Iwata book. It's so good. I'm like 3 or 4 chapters into it, a couple chapters into it, whatever. I don't know how many chapters into it. It's not really divided up into chapters, I guess, but and it's, God, that guy was awesome. Iwata was fantastic because he, his leadership style was, it was quirky, in so as much as he would, if there were issues, he would like dive in, be all hands on, even as president, you know, he would just be all hands on deck. He'd be part of the coding team. He really found, the book kind of talks about how he really found it be powerful and effective to do one-on-ones with his employees when he got up to like the presidential level of HAL Laboratory, where he started full-time, I guess. He took over as president, and then the company was basically in bankruptcy. So they were in huge debt. He takes over, so they kind of shove him into president position, and then one of his first big things that he does is he meets with everybody, every single employee. I think there was like, he said that sometimes there would be like 80 or 90 employees. And one-on-one, he'd do these just personal talks. Like, hey, tell me everything that you're feeling. Let's just air it out. What's good? What's bad? How are you feeling about work? How are you feeling about life? And tell me about yourself. And so he did these a couple times a year, and it really instilled this trust and this level of ownership in the employees, because they felt like, oh, our CEO and our president actually listens to our thoughts and our comments over at HAL. And he took some of that, and he ended up bringing HAL back up, obviously with stuff like Kirby and things like that. He did a great job. But he took the same kind of idea and the principle to Nintendo. Obviously, in Nintendo, he made everybody wear suits and ties. That's where the guy was another one of his quirks there. He was a big suit and tie wearer. So he definitely installed a somewhat strict business attire policy, which is pretty funny, but he was a super friendly person, never made it about himself. I mean, again, this is the kind of stuff you read like only like halfway through the book, and it's a quick read too. So you could plow through this thing in one day, probably one night. I think it's going to be about, you know, 2.5-3 hour read if you sit down. I did it in about 10 minute spurts here and there over over this weekend, and I've been really enjoying it. So I'll have this sucker done over the next few days. I'm not going to talk too much because I want to get JJ and Sam, both of them have it as well. So I want to talk about it more with them, but yeah, loving it. It's just a great insight into who Satoru Iwata was, the late Satoru Iwata. So, and that's basically it. That's Sunday, 20 minute mark here. Just me, myself, and I covered a few things. No comments because everybody's watching the Oscars. Or we just don't have any viewers. That's totally cool with me. I don't mind. I'm drinking Fireball. I'm staring at my little Wario guy here, and he's telling me time to wrap it up so I can go play some video games. So that's it. All right, everybody. Take care. Thank you. And we'll see you on the next episode of The Side Quest, which will be later this week, I'm sure. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Choices kill my head.